What up, fam? Today we handling breakups and relationships and that pesky question that people always ask at the end of a relationship. Why? We ask ourselves, why did he do this? Why did she do this? Why? Questions that we cannot answer in ourselves. So why do we ask these questions? We're going to break all that down on this episode. If you're going through a breakup or have gone through a breakup, or you're sitting in the middle of wondering if you're going to do it or not, this episode is going to be for you. We hope you enjoy it. Here it is, Nights at the Roundtable. And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Roundtable. This is your boy, Man Wheezy. We got my queen to the left, Angela Johnson.
Hello.
And my homeboy to the right, Be Real. Oh. We are up in these streets right now. And look, if you don't know, Be Real got hurt. So if you can see it on the video, we just need some prayer rays shot over to B.
Because yeah.
he has a long journey to get better, but it's going to happen. And we just want to show some love that way. We're drinking this thing that my managers got me for Christmas, which is a whole bunch of little vials.
Of so wine.
If you can't see, it's because you're not watching us on YouTube and you probably should go over there and subscribe. These little
it's a
vials.
Wine sampler.
Yeah, it's a sampler.
So they send you 12 different bottles of wine for 12 days of Christmas.
Yep.
And you can taste them and sample them.
Yeah. This one is a Taste of Spain Catalina from Vallats 2018.
Let's taste it.
Let's see what this is like.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Very dry.
It's nice though.
Yeah, very dry. Can I see it?
I like it. And I'm typically the one that doesn't like things.
I know. Catalonia.
Which lets you know. Yeah. I'm with it.
Interesting. I like it.
Ooh, it hit me right in the chest like Mad Dog.
Like Mad Dog tastes wine.
Oh, ooh, that packs a punch.
It hit me real hard.
Oh, lover.
Man, today we're going to be talking about something that in the past 3 days has been nonstop in my world. So for those of you who follow on social media, I threw out my Google number for people to hit me up if they needed someone to talk to. I didn't plan it. It was just something. I was lifting weights and I was like, it's my birthday. I'm just going to see if people are okay. So I texted out my number. A bunch of y'all got at me and we started chatting. And a good majority of y'all are going through breakups. Mm. And this is the one thing that I realized there was a common denominator between the ladies. So ladies, I'm sure that this may happen with guys too, but just so happens that like three or four of the ladies are the only ones that hit me up with this kind of issue.
Okay.
And the issue is, why is it that for the most part, women, if you get ghosted, if you get broken up with, if you get whatever, your one go-to or the first thing you do is try to find out the whys. Mm-hmm. Why he left, why he ghosted, why is he mean, why is he abusive, why does he say one thing and do another, why does he say he loved me but then he treats me poorly, why. And so I started getting frustrated a little bit, not in a negative way, but more like frustrated with the idea of like, you're asking a question that you will never get an answer to, because that answer, A, lies within the other person, B, is fully dependent on whether that other person is mature enough to retrieve that answer from his psyche. He probably does or does not know why he broke up with you. But you're trying to figure it out, thinking that it's going to bring you closure. And that's what people always say. They need closure, they need closure. And I was just telling B beforehand. And I was like, if you think logically, if you're telling me that you need to speak to the other person or you need to get answers from the other person in order for it to be closure, then what you are saying is all total and complete power is in the other person's hands. If they don't want to give you closure, then you are stuck in relationship limbo for the rest of your life. That is what you are saying if you think or subscribe to the idea that I need closure. I need to talk to them. I need to get answers from them. I need to know why they did this or why they did that. That's going to bring me closure. That's not going to bring you closure. It's going to bring you a scar. Mm-hmm. It's going to leave you more affected and in the exact same place that you were at before you asked them. So to me, I'm just like, stop asking why to questions that you cannot get answers to.
Yeah, it's funny. When I think about that, what you're saying, the visual that I get to mind is like you have a destination that you're typing on your GPS. You've essentially given this other person the keys to your car and you're saying, hey, I need you to take me to this place. Mm. This is the spot that I'm trying to go to in life, but you have the keys to my car.
Mm.
Like, so it's really like the power is in your own hands there, you know, rather than relying on someone else to get you the closure. But it's always an interesting thing because you always feel like the person that hurts you is the person that's supposed to heal you.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's really what happens is like, I got really hurt. I got really wounded in this relationship. And since you're the one that's responsible for it, you're the one that's going to fix this.
Go fix it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And rarely does that happen.
Right.
And usually I think the times that I've gotten hurt in relationships, the closure I've gotten is through other relationships.
Mm.
So it's not saying like me bouncing on to the next partner, next whatever, but wounds that come in a relationship usually have to get healed through other relationships again.
Mm.
It's interesting the way that works out. But
do you think that the reason is because that's the only other time where you're going to be faced with whatever conflict it was that, so like, obviously there's work that you can do on your own, which is taking responsibility for whatever it is that you did and fixing that. But you cannot recreate an argument if you're single. Is that what you're saying? Like in order, I wouldn't say moving into another relationship would heal it unless the idea is like, well, it'll heal it if I do the work by myself and then I'm introduced into a relationship where now I get the chance to display whether or not what I've been working on is effective.
Yeah.
Because you can't have conflict resolution when it's just you.
That kind of reminds me a little bit of the people would say, like, be careful praying for patience because then God's going to give you a situation where you got to be patient, you know? So I feel like there's a little bit of that, like, here's the opportunity for me to exercise what I've been working on. But I think healing has to be done on your own time. So, like, let me take it back, actually, to what you were saying about the whole I need closure. You can get closure on your own, but there is something satisfying, helpful about having some sense of this person who doesn't want to be with me anymore telling me, I don't want to be with you because I fell in love with somebody else. That's for me, then that's an easy out because I'm like, oh, it's not about me. Still hurts, but it's not about me.
But it is about you.
Sure, but
that's what I'm saying. Like, they can say they fell in love with somebody else, and the first thing that the person's going to do who was dumped was, well, what does she have that I don't have?
Sure, yes.
So it's, again, it's like, what can be satisfied? We're talking about ego at this point. We're not talking about healing.
All the day, stroke my ego.
But that's like, not real healing.
I know, but it's helpful.
How?
It feels good.
It's helpful for the negative side of you. For all the side of you that you should kill, there's no way that it can be helpful for the positive side of you because you're asking to feed a side of you that has to die.
So here's a example from my own personal life. There was a guy that I dated for a minute. Pre-you, babe. Sorry.
Babe, I don't get jealous. You know that.
I know. I hate it. So there's this guy that I dated and I made a mistake. I was immature. First of all, I wasn't supposed to be with him in the first place. But in this instance, I was immature and I acted out. I was ridiculous, right? Well, I knew we weren't going to date anymore after that. But I wanted to at least I tried apologizing, be like, you know what? That was stupid that I acted out that way. That's really dumb of me. I apologize. And he wouldn't give me even a response. He wouldn't respond to my text messages. He wouldn't respond to my email. Like, I wrote out a long email being like, I get it. Like, I'm not trying to, like, work things out with you. Mm-hmm. I just want you to know, I know that what I did was stupid. The way I was acting, like, it was immature. It was really dumb. And I apologize. And all I wanted was, like, acknowledgement of, like, yeah, that was dumb. But take care. Take care of yourself. Yeah. You know, but nothing.
Mm.
And that felt so open-ended. Like, I just need to know that, like, you heard me, you saw me, like, feel seen, feel validated, like, as a person. And that's where I talk about that was the first time I felt disposable.
Hmm.
And that was what hurt more than this guy. I didn't
Why do you think you felt disposable?
Because he could just forget me like that. Like, I wasn't as important enough to, like, get closure with me and be like, yeah, that was dumb. Take care of yourself, whatever.
But that's not really why you felt disposable.
I felt disposable because he wouldn't give me a response.
I don't think so.
Okay, tell me why you think I felt.
I think you felt disposable because the key word that you said is that I just expected him to at least give me this or this. So you felt disposable because you had an expectation.
Because my expectations weren't met.
Had nothing to do with him. Because you're not even considering that maybe he's not responding because he can't handle it. Or maybe he doesn't want to continue contact because you're a kryptonite to him. So you're making it about him and it has nothing to do with him. It has to do with the expectation. Because if you really just wanted him to know these things, it doesn't matter if he responds.
Sure.
He just, as long as he can read it, and if it's up to the universe, he'll read it. And that's it. I don't need a response.
I feel like that's where I'm at now, where I, after therapy and stuff, I can go into a situation, whether it's with a relationship, a friendship, a work something, and it's going to be confrontational because I'm not good with confrontation, something with even my siblings. Like, I have to have a hard conversation, that I go into it knowing this is for this purpose, regardless how they respond. Hmm. Whether they respond A, B, or C, it doesn't matter. That's what the reason why I'm saying this is for this. Now I'm at the place where I go into conversations like that. At that point in my life, I was definitely not that mature and evolved in,
which
in
is important,
owning
to know,
my feelings.
Because you began that story with, there's sometimes where closure can be,
it feels good.
Right. And so that's why I'm saying no.
Sure, maybe it's
it
not,
is not good. Because
helpful. But
I
it feels
one good. Of the girls that I talked to, and I'm not going to say her name. I still love her, and I think, you know, she'll learn this, and she learned it. I told her, I was like, do not reach out to him.
Yeah,
he has already shown you that he does not want to continue conversing. He only responds when you reach out. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was hard for her because she was like, "Man, we were so good for a while, and then he just ghosted." And I'm like, so he's telling you he no longer wants to be in contact with you.
Right.
Now, it's hard for her to understand because they've been in contact this whole pandemic and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you're just making excuses for this person. You're not accepting what they are showing you. You need to not communicate because at this point, he obviously has the upper hand. Now, I'm not saying don't communicate so that you can have the upper hand. I'm saying recognize that you are weaker than the foe. He is for sure stronger in this scenario because he doesn't care about you like you care about him.
Right, right, right.
So you need to block yourself off and not communicate with him because no matter what happens, he's not going to give you what you want or what you expect because he's not operating on the same vibration as you are. You're all full of love. He is not. So when you reach out, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how he responds, you're going to take it as it's not enough because you want him to respond on the same level of your energy, but he's not there. Mm. Do not reach out to him. In your mind, tell yourself, I'm grateful for our relationship because I learned that I like this about a man. I like this about a guy. I like this. He had all these qualities. It was so dope. I got to experience it. The fact that it was in him means that it's for real. That means it can be in somebody else. Take all that and be like, cool. Hmm. And then apply it to the next relationship. Keep it moving.
Yeah.
So then she reaches out. She reaches out.
About that, actually, about being grateful for an ex. Oh, we were listening to Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
And then we said we didn't believe her.
No. And somebody said, I don't believe you. I forget. Was it William? Somebody was like, I'm not there yet. I don't think I could be grateful yet for the past.
So she reaches out and gives him the text that I told her to think in her head.
Oh. Oh, my God.
And then shows me his response, which his response was nice. But again, it wasn't, it felt short of what she wanted.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, I told you not to reach out. But as I'm talking to my friend that was just here, same thing. I'm going to meet up with my ex. Why are you going to meet up with your ex? Because I need closure. You're not going to get closure by meeting up with your ex. You're not. Yeah, but he hasn't, you know, he's blaming me for everything. His dad sent me a fuck you text. Literally, his dad is like, fuck off.
Wow.
You're a child. And I'm like, well, now you see where he gets it from.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that a 70-year-old dad can't understand young love lets me know that he didn't teach his son anything anything better, which is why his son is acting out in anger. And then she's telling me continually, oh, he did this, he did this, this is how he talks to me, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, and she's like, he won't accept responsibility. And so I told him, I only want to meet up if you're willing to accept responsibility for what you've done. And he told me he was, so I'm going to meet up with him. And I was like, wait, from when you broke up to today, has he shown you any single iota of a sign that he's ready to take responsibility? She's like, no. And I'm like, so because he just says, okay, you're going to believe him and put yourself in the line of fire? Do you know what you look like? He is the mass shooter of your heart. And he just ran out of bullets. You're the dumb girl that's running up to him with a magazine and saying, here's for the reload, thinking that he's not going to shoot you. He already shot up your entire house and you're coming with a reload for him. Dang. And I told her, I was like, no matter what happens, he is in a negative space. He's in a shadow side of himself. So if you go there and don't give him exactly what he needs to feel good about himself, he's going to take a look. He's going to take a response. He's going to think you're goodbye. If it's not what he needs to fulfill his insecurities, he's going to hold it against you and shoot you. If you don't show up, he's going to hold it against you and shoot you. Why? Because this guy is not in a place where he actually wants to take responsibility for what he did and make this right. Hmm. He is in a place where he's looking for someone to blame, and you're it. Doesn't matter what you do. So in this scenario, you're going to be the one that's hurt. I promise you, you will leave scarred. Hmm. So if you go, I don't want to hear from you. Oh, he said this. Oh, he said this. Or he whatever. Because at that point, I no longer feel sorry for you. You are choosing to get shot. That's all I'm going to tell you. If you go, I don't want to hear you cry.
Dang.
Wow.
But don't nobody want to hear that?
Nah. Because they want
sympathy.
You brought up something earlier that definitely has me thinking of when someone says that they want closure. I would venture and say, and I could speak on this just in my own experience, right? You get hurt in a relationship, you got a little boo thing, you got a little crush, whatever, your heart gets broke. Like, even if it's just baby broke, you know? It's not like full broke. And the closure is really to satisfy the false self. Mm. And it's like, it's oftentimes, it's why we choose to blame others. It's why we choose to scapegoat. It's why we choose to become victims in situations. And again, this doesn't negate real victims in situations. I'm just saying when we choose to have the victim mentality because someone did us dirty or whatever, is most of that closure is kind of like code word for, I want you to make my ego part feel a little less bruised.
Yeah.
And it's almost as like a escape mechanism for actually real healing and real growth.
Yep.
That's really what it is. Yep. Because it's like, it's easier to pinpoint your inadequacies, your fears, your insufficiencies and whatever it is on somebody else, rather than you taking a look in the mirror and say, hey, what happened. And it exposed these things in me, these darker, deeper things that I had no idea about. And that's a crazy thing about relationships is, man, I forgot what movie I was just watching. But
something Marvel.
Yes, it was something Marvel. We went on a Marvel binge trip. But choosing to love again is really giving someone, another person, the power to hurt you in a deep way.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is. And when you love in a deep way, or there is a connection and you feel this thing in this relationship, all those things, like, it opens you up in a way where there's things inside of you that you might not have been aware of. Now all of a sudden you're aware of. Mm-hmm. And that's a scary thing about relationships. So obviously when something breaks up or it's crushed or whatever, all of a sudden you're aware of these things that need to be healed. But in that situation, it's a lot easier to look at your ex or whoever it is and say, you're the problem, you're immature, you're all these things, which could be the case, but that doesn't take away from the fact that you now have to be on a process to heal what's inside of you. Mm-hmm. And closure can't come through that. Closure has to come through radical acceptance of what's inside of you and choosing to move forward.
Agreed. Because all that does, when you put closure on somebody else, all it does, it gives you a false sense of morality. If you look at the other person and say, he's a shithead, or he's this, he did this to me, then your growth stops right there, because the reason for all of your woes is that dude and what he did, or that girl and what she did. So your processing stops, because to yourself, you're like, yeah, this is the point of my hurt right here, this person. As opposed to, which what I told her, I was like, the question you should be asking is, why are you in that situation? Now, there's certain people that are in situations, like they're married and they can't just like bounce, you know? Well, their convictions won't allow them to. Anybody can bounce. But the convictions are like, I'm married, I got to try to stick this out.
Right.
But if you're in a non-marriage relationship, and even if you are in a marriage relationship, being able to decipher like when to bail, and it's like, I'm not promoting divorce, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, to each person, you have to assess this on your own. You really have to figure out what it is in you that's keeping you in the situation that you're in.
Yeah.
And so when I ask her that, she doesn't have an answer for that, because she spent all of her energy and emotions trying to figure out why this person is the way he is. Mm-hmm. And it's, I used to do it all the time. We had that problem at the beginning of our relationship, remember? Where you would always say, I'd be like, babe, you don't treat anyone else like this. No one else gets your anger. And she, and you would always be like, well, because no one else can push my buttons like you.
I still say that.
Yeah. But you're better.
I still have growth.
You're better at not saying it all the time. And I always tell you, and I always told you, the first thing I learned in psychology class is that nobody can make you angry. Nobody can make you do things. That is a choice that you have. And my example is always like, well, I don't respond the same way that you respond, because I'm choosing to not let you make me angry. So it's within us that we can do the same thing. Like, we can choose whether or not we want to be in a situation or not be in a situation. And it's how we view ourselves, the value that we put on ourselves, that's going to determine on whether or not you stay and what you allow to happen to you. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it all comes down to ego then, in the end. Like, mm-hmm. for instance, asking the question, why doesn't this guy like me as much as this guy? Like, the girls who are like, they want to date this guy, this one's giving them all the attention. Mm-hmm. And they're like, nobody wants to date me. Nobody wants to date me because this guy won't date them. And then this guy over here is going, I'll date you. And they're like, no, not you. Just one of these guys only. And so then there's the question of like, so here's this guy to my left who thinks I'm hilarious. He thinks that I am the funniest girl alive. He finds me charming. He thinks I'm so sweet. He wants to like buy me all these gifts and everything. How come this guy doesn't see me that way? What the heck? How come this guy isn't like fawning over me? Like, that hard to get, but also he don't really want you type. So it all comes down to ego, but those are all questions that I have asked myself in dating situations, where here's a guy who likes me and I'm like, thanks for liking me, but what the heck? How come this guy doesn't like me? And sometimes once like I would like play the game, it was almost like a challenge, and then the guy would start liking me, then the challenge is gone. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I didn't like him that much after all. So it really is like a lot of ego when it comes down to it. But I get the asking the questions of like, well, how come this guy doesn't feel like this guy does? I'm charming. I'm funny. I'm all these things. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
What do you think is the reason why, like, why is it so hard to accept people when they show us who they are?
I think it's because
especially in the context of relationships here.
We don't like falling short. Them losing interest, the other person losing interest or not wanting to be with us, means that for some reason we were not enough. We don't consider that that person may be in a lower place in life, which is what I was telling her. When you tell me what kind of person he is, says stuff to you like, oh, when we have kids, you're going to be this kind of person. And it's negative. Oh, rude. You're going to do this. Just speaking curses over you. Whoa. Right? And this is the guy that you're trying to earn his love back?
Ew.
When if you were giving advice to your girlfriend, you'd be like, oh my God, stay away from him.
Yeah.
But there is something in us that doesn't like feeling like we're not enough. And yeah. we gauge our yeah. enough based on other people's
opinion
of us yeah. being enough. We don't, I think that's why I was like, Willie Matt, we have this long argument because Willie Matt, he's been on the show. He keeps telling me, he's like, I need you to get jealous for your wife.
Yeah, and get jealous for me.
And I'm always like, I don't get jealous. And he's like, how can you not be jealous? And I'm like, because I have such supreme confidence in who I am and how I'm loving my wife, that if she genuinely felt that I am not enough, she can bounce. Because I know that it's not on me. The reason I know it's not on me is because I'm constantly asking her, what can I do better? Am I doing something wrong? If I make a mistake, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I will fix it. And I fix it. So I have a spirit of like, I need to be the best version of me for my wife so that she never has a feeling of like, oh, my husband doesn't listen to me or my husband doesn't hear me or see me. And I'm doing my best. I'm giving my best. And I know I'm doing a great job at that. I may not be doing great at writing love letters, even though I think text messages should count as love letters.
No.
I may not be the best at consistently getting flowers, even though every time I do get flowers, you always diss them in some way. But I'm getting better at getting you flowers.
I don't diss them. I'm just very specific. I've showed you pictures of bouquets.
I will spend over $100 on flowers,
the price
and
doesn't
she'd be
matter.
Like,
you
oh,
spend $100
look-
on boring flowers, and I show you pictures.
Erroneous.
Like, look how exotic this bouquet is, and how like modern and like how beautiful.
Here's why that's erroneous, is because on my way to giving you the flowers, the amount of females that compliment the flowers, I'm like, yeah, it is nice, and I feel real good. And then I get to you, and then you don't think they're hot.
I do love every flower you've ever given me.
You are.
I'm just very specific.
We're digressing.
Same thing with my wedding ring. I was very specific with what I wanted, and you gave me none of the things that I wanted.
Because a circular diamond shines more.
You made an executive decision, and that's fine.
I can't let you go the wrong way.
I gave you very specific instructions.
Circular diamonds shine more.
You did not follow.
And
same
I know
thing
you,
with the flowers.
You didn't know that about diamonds, and so I educated you.
But now
you.
I love my ring.
You should love your ring. If imagine yeah. if that crap was a square or the whatever the hell you wanted, the damn whatever. It wouldn't shine as bright. It wouldn't fit that setting. I'm just saying.
Shine bright like a diamond.
Anyways, I think that's the reason. I really do think that people, their ego cannot stand somebody not wanting them. When in reality, all you do is just want one person to want you. You don't need everyone to want you.
Yeah.
You just need that one. So why are you so bent out of shape that as you go along your dating, you're like, oh, you're so hurt that that person doesn't want you. But that person may not be the one person that needs to want you.
Yeah.
You don't want all these people to want you.
I do want all these people to want me.
Can I have it all?
I don't want to want them, but I want them to want me.
Oh, but that's ego again.
I know. It's all ego.
So bad. I think it's
because no, that thing I could definitely relate to, because I think that's one deeply seated lie that I've been in agreement with for so many years, is that I'm not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, because when my parents' marriage split and the way that it happened, it felt like my mom left me and it felt like I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. Like, you walked away from this family. And then one of my first heartbreaks, it was like baby love. Like, I was in middle school, but that shit hurt like mm-hmm. deep, you know? And it was the only girl that ever told me, I think we'd be better off as friends. And that it wasn't translated as, oh, she's just probably not in the place to have a relationship with me. We're in seventh grade. Like, what the hell are we going to do, you know? But it really was translated to me, Brandon, you're not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, years later, interesting enough, this was my relationship before Maddie. And I remember in that relationship, I always felt like, you're not giving me enough. Like, I'm worth so much more than this. Like, you don't even know what, like, my value is. Because if you knew, like, how dope I am, you would be treating me way better. So it wasn't even like bad in that sense, but then it made me feel like, it made me actually question myself for a moment. Maybe I'm not good enough. Mm. Like, I see myself as a star and you're treating me like I'm just some like normal bum. And maybe I am a normal bum. Mm. So it was interesting, because over the course of my life, like, that's been the biggest thing. And so when it's come to relationships, that's always been the thing that gets me. So if there's ever a sense of like, uh-oh, actually, maybe it is me. So then it comes back on me.
Yeah.
And so it's funny, because Maddie was the first, like, obviously it's been working out great. It's been great. I made a great decision. But but that relationship brought so much healing to me. And through our marriage, that's been the one thing that her love and her consistency in that love has really made me feel like I am enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was talking about earlier about the healing that could come through relationships is, man, sometimes it's going to be that next person. Like, if you choose to move on, that next person is going to actually, like, prove to you, to yourself, whatever that lie was that you came into agreement with post the last relationship, it actually was that. It was a lie. And so the truth was that, oh, I actually am enough. Mm-hmm. And Maddie's presence in my life has actually been one of the main things that has allowed me to believe that. So, like, even on my worst days where I feel like, man, I am not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And her being there, loving me, is like, oh, you're more than enough. Like, you
I
know?
Think being not enough is a constant in my life as well.
Yeah.
Not just, not relationally, but in my career.
Yeah.
You know, and what I do. And I think this also speaks to saying, I want everyone to like me, not that one person.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember being that way younger when I was dating. And like, of course, I want to be liked. I want to be the most popular. I want all the guys to like me, whatever. But in my career now, like, I can say, I know I'm not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I know not everyone is for everyone. There's people that love Kevin Hart. There's people that don't love Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that love Angela Johnson. There's people that think Angela Johnson's whack.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say, with my brain, yeah, I know I'm not for everybody. I'm not supposed to be for everybody. But there's still a little piece of me that's like, man, I wish I was for everybody.
Yeah.
I wish everybody loved me and thought it was hilarious, you know? And but the fact is, there's a lot of people who don't.
Yeah.
And I have to be okay with that. And I am okay with it, but it still hurts a little bit.
Yeah.
Dude, this reminds me, like, okay, Pastor Drake. We always like talking about Pastor Drake.
Reverend Aubrey Graham.
He has this verse that sums up so many people. I think this is why he's a genius in Thank Me Now. Listen to this, because this is literally what we're, this is so much revelation and like self-awareness. So, shallow Negro, but deep enough to have gone swimming. I think I'm spending all my time with the wrong women. I think I have a chance at love, and knowing me, I'll miss it. Because me dedicating my time just isn't realistic. Man, the good girls went silent on me. They got a boyfriend or left for college on me. That's what you're talking about. Like, the good girls mm-hmm. that were around, they left. The people that I ignored, they he's like, they got a boyfriend or they left to college on me. And the bad ones I used to have are friends now, which makes me wish I had a little less mileage on me. And I feel that, like, I shouldn't have held around so much.
Yeah.
Because while I was holding around, people were off getting real relationships.
Mm.
But do I ever come up in discussion, ego, over double pump lattes and low-fat muffins, do I? Or is missing what we had out of the question? I'm probably just the main reason that you learned your lesson. Like, he was the bad thing that taught them, I need to go get somebody better. Because right. this guy, even though right. he's Drake, he ain't good for me.
Right.
I got flows for the Marilyn Monroes, who was there before it all. I guess that's how it goes. They hear about your cons, but focus on your pros. That's one of the most profound lyrics. And love you for who you are from the bottom of their soul. But those same ones from your area will grow into women that are ready to get married at hello. Because of that, they allowed. Where are they all now? I know there's some watching, so I'm trying to make them all proud. Searching for the meaning, you'll find it next to me. They tell me I'm the hottest. Guess we'll finally have to see. And then it goes on to him just being dope. But that right there is yeah. like so much.
That's insight,
self-realization, where he's yeah. just like, damn, there were good girls that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And they left because I was messing around. And then even the bad ones aren't there either. So I find myself like, because I was searching or feeding the ego, neither of them want me.
Right.
Which makes me feel I have a little less mileage on me. When I heard that verse, I was like, damn, I was there for a long ass time where I was just like, just trying to figure it out, not really ready to commit. And then I look around and everybody was committing. Everybody's getting married. Everybody seems so happy.
Yeah.
And I'm out here putting more mileage on me.
Shoot.
Freaking Pastor Drake. It's deep. But I mean, I really feel like when it comes to this topic, man, if you can be okay with dissecting yourself in the most positive light, I think that'll be the quickest way for you to find closure. Ask yourself the questions that you can actually answer. And the only questions that you can answer are the questions that deal with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did I get into... These are some questions you should ask yourself in a breakup. Why did I get into this relationship? Why did I stay in this relationship?
What is similar to this relationship and the one before that?
Previous ones. Mm. Correct. Is this relationship celebrating the better parts of me? Or is it causing the better parts of me to shrink? So with my friend, her insecure boyfriend, she's a very big personality, super big. We all know this. She's funny. She's outgoing. She's that one girl that will dance on the, she'll be on the dance floor first. She'll turn up when everybody's not there and be the last person off. She's just big. But being with this person, that intimidated him. So he wanted her to shrink because he was afraid that someone else will scoop her up because of her big personality. Mm-hmm. So he didn't celebrate the better parts of her, the parts that she thinks is amazing.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing with the previous relationship. Same thing. Trying to make her small because of their insecurities. If you're too big for me, someone will realize how good you are.
Right.
And bounce, as opposed to let me level up.
Right.
And hold more space for how big you can be. You know what I'm saying? These are questions that you should be asking yourself, as opposed to why did they leave? Why did they say this? Why aren't they calling me? I text them. Why aren't they hitting me back? Because these are all questions that even if you got answers to, you may not even know. They may not even be the real answers. They just may be somebody who feels bad that you're still asking questions, and they'll placate you for a little bit, give you a little bit to for you to be okay, say something nice, and may not even mean it.
And to clarify too, with the questions that you ask being about yourself, an unhealthy self question is, why wasn't I good enough?
Yeah.
That's not a healthy self analyzing question. That is a very victim mentality question. But
because that's not even a self question.
Yeah. Why wasn't I good enough for them?
That's
so
it.
It's right. About them.
Exactly. It's all about them. Now you're basing your good enough on their idea of value.
Right.
Which is like, why would you do that to yourself? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and those questions are about the other, those are the answers you won't get. And sometimes I think that people are afraid to ask those questions about themselves because they don't actually want the answer.
Sure.
Like, most of us, this is probably an exaggeration. Hopefully the people listening to this are not those people. But I would say most people do everything they can to avoid the questions about themselves because they are scared of what the answer will reveal to them.
Yeah.
So we play pretend. So that play pretend can look like a lot of different things. We get stuck in different vices. We do things that we don't really want to do because we know when we're doing what we're really supposed to do, we're going to have to answer those questions. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So those questions about ourselves, man, it could be such a scary thing. Like, I talked about an event that happened. This wasn't even necessarily a relationship thing, even though it was manifested in different relationships I had, where there was an aspect of me deep down inside that I knew, like, I'm scared what I might discover there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I shared about my experience on New Year's Eve, have a bad trip, my walls completely down, and there's no more hiding for me. And there was a couple things that I got out of that experience. One was that when my walls are completely down and there was nothing for me to hide behind, it is like such a incredible moment of freedom. And from that experience, I've done my best to like absolutely tell the truth, no matter how it comes across, no matter who might get offended or disappointed at the moment of being, because of, like, I realized that when I live in the truth, man, that is where freedom is.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because the deep, dark thing about me was that I realized that I really wasn't fully convinced that I was, like, loved by God. And if I wasn't convinced I was really loved by him, I can't really love myself.
Yeah.
And that's where feeling not good enough was actually the deeper root of that was, like, I didn't actually love me because I couldn't actually feel like God loved me. And that was that, like, that answer that I avoided for such a long time. And it was the reason why I never asked that question. And those questions, again, it, like, it is not for the faint of heart. Like, no, that's like big boy, big girl stuff. Like, that's where real growth, real transformation happens. Because if you're not at, like, you got to, at the end of the day, you got to have courage. And there's got to be some sense of bravery within yourself to go on that sort of journey of self-growth and asking those questions. And
humility as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, that's a low road down to find.
Because here's the thing that we don't ever think. We never think that we're the shitty person.
Right.
That's why we're afraid. Because if we get down to the real and we analyze how we act and why we do things to other people and why we stay in relationships that we shouldn't, it's because at the end of the day, we're the shitty part of the relationship. For a long time, that was me. Remember, my biggest revelation was I was never a hoe. I never just went out to try to get some. I was always so emotionally invested, and I can only be intimate with people that I really cared about, right? So I had a bunch of encounters prior to marriage, which not a lot of sex, but just like intimate situations. And even though I was noble in my intent, like I really wanted to see if we could work out. I wasn't just trying to play people. Mm-hmm. If you add it up, I still left. So I still hurt people.
Yeah.
I still was a hoe.
Yeah.
Even though I was trying to find love, like I literally wasn't like what a hoe would be like. Oh, I'm just trying to get some. Who can I text so I can get some? It wasn't that. But I still was compromising myself and laying with a bunch of people. So I had to look in the mirror and say, bruh, you are a hoe. You don't value yourself and you don't value these other people. You just don't. You're the bad person. Your intent is great because you genuinely care about them. But you're also pushing them back from finding their true one. And you're pushing yourself back. That's when I deleted all my numbers in my phone. All the girls that I was like, okay, no. These girls are just more like, this is emotional. These girls aren't pushing me towards Jesus. So I deleted all the numbers. And then 6 months later, that's when I found Ange. But it took that real, actually, like, I didn't get there by some magical moment of Jesus. It was, oh, I'm the hoe. I'm the shitty person. I'm the one that needs to say I'm sorry. As opposed to sitting around being like, man, why can't I find the one? Why can't I find the one? You know, I just keep dating bad people. When it's like, are you the bad person? Because I'm the common denominator. All these other chicks, like Drake said, like all of them went and found other people. They're married, happy. I see them on the ground. They're like kids, all this stuff, just gleeing with hope. I'm like, oh, so it was me. It was not them. And that's a hard pill to swallow. And I don't think a lot of people want to take that medication.
Yeah. Well, it takes work. And not a lot of people want to do the work, deal with. It feels daunting. Like you were saying, Brandon, like we don't want to ask the questions because we're afraid of what we'll find out. But also we're afraid of the work it's going to take once we find out what we find out. And yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, you hear a creepy noise in your backyard, you got to get up and go figure out what it is. But at the same time, you're the one who got up to go figure out what it is. Now you're the one who has to deal with it. Is a creeper trying to break in your house? You can't just go hide under the blankets. You could do that for a little while, but he's going to attack you.
Yeah.
So you got to do something about it.
Yeah.
But it's getting up, go, figure it out.
Yeah, it's the and it's the same thing, too, of like you want someone else to save you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and that's the interesting thing. Like, when it comes to having a relationship with Jesus, Jesus isn't going to do the work for you. And that is such a convenient thing to believe. It's like, hey, I'm a daughter. I'm a son of God. I say yes to Jesus. He's my savior. He saves me. You know, he's my deliverer. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's an aspect of all that. But one of Jesus's last thing that he talks to his disciples is the Great Commission. It is literally, if you break that into two words, it is co-mission. Mm. It is this thing that we are doing together. Wow. You and I get to be part of this. And that's the way that God works, is like so many of us, like, we're like, Jesus, just do this work for me. Like, I just say yes, I surrender. And God's like, you're still going to be the one that has to ask the question. Mm-hmm. You're still the one that's going to have to accept the answer. And you're still going to be the one that's going to have to walk down the road. Now, good news is I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to walk down this road with you, but it's going to be you walking.
Yep.
And yeah, man.
Man, shout out to everybody who's walking this walk and still trying and still out there in the dating game, trying to find love. It's not easy. I have hella empathy for you, for those who feel slighted, who feel hurt, feel broken. If you listen this long, hopefully you didn't get triggered by anything and cut it off. But that would be the one person that doesn't want to ask themselves the questions. We believe that there's enough in you to overcome any heartbreak. No relationship is the last relationship. There is definitely somebody out there that's willing to treat you the way you feel like you need to be treated or should be treated. Just make sure that you are also willing to treat them the same way. Stop asking why, unless you're referring to yourself, because you're the only person that can answer your questions. We love you guys so much. If you want any clarification on anything that we said or if something was taken the wrong way, just DM us. We'll hit you back. We're happy to speak with you. And if you're not on our Patreon, you should be. It's been exciting to see a lot of people continuing to sign up. And it's even more exciting that most of them are on the VIP. I keep pushing the $2 thing because I think everybody will do the $2. How can you not? How can you not listen and just be like, $2 is nothing? But that's the lowest amount of people we have at $2, which
that's
is
good.
Very that's interesting. Awesome. I mean, I'd rather have a bunch of $2 than nothing. But I do think it's more encouraging that people feel that there's value in it. And yeah, they're giving more. So for those of you who are doing Patreon, thank you. For those of you who are not, we just ask you to consider it. If any of our stuff is helping you in any way, be the $2 person. You get extra content. You help us keep going. So we would appreciate you. All the VIPers, we love you. Everyone else,
love you.
We pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
I drank most of mine. Look at that.